Hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday morning here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. We're going to journey out west, way out into Kansas, not really all that far. The former Sandstone Amphitheater, which is now called the Providence Medical Center Amphitheater, it hosts a lot of concerts these days. I remember seeing the Grateful Dead there in the 90s. That was exciting. But they are trying something a little bit new, and Mark Edelman is with us. He is the president of Theater League, and they are doing a production of The Wizard of Oz at the Old Sandstone Amphitheater. Welcome to the show, Mark. He brought along Dorothy. She plays Dorothy Gale. She is Chelsea Abercrombie. She is one of those Stevens girls. And whenever I have a Stevens girl on the show, I always say that they're trying to take over the Kansas City theater scene because they always get cast in things. And some of them have went on to New York, where they're working now, and television shows.
Right. We're trying to take over everywhere.
And successfully, it seems to be.
I can remember as a college student, I went to school in St. Louis, driving up to Columbia and kind of lingering around, you know, Stevens, and these beautiful girls would walk by, and you know, I just didn't, you know, I was like invisible to them.
Well, when I went to Missouri, several of them have saddles in their dorm rooms.
Equestrian studies is a very popular major.
It was a very popular major.
Well, I saw Chelsea do, you know,
Into the Woods?
Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
And Into the Woods. And I was so charmed by her. I thought, I think I saw you in the lobby afterward. Mm-hmm. And I said, kind of, because I knew I was going to do this project, and I was going to do, I was hoping, I wasn't, it turned out I'm going to be, I did it. I mean, I'm doing it with Michael Grayman Parkhurst and Andy Grayman Parkhurst, who run Spinning Tree, who I admire their musical theater work. But I said, you know, I really don't need to audition. I really need to find those four people, you know, because, you know, Dorothy, Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion. You got to find them, and you know, you got to like nail them down early because they're probably the most popular musical theater performers in town. And it was summertime, so they might get Starlight, they might get Theater in the Park, they might get Mamma Mia. All these other shows going on. So I go to see shows, and I saw you. And Robert was in it too, wasn't he?
Robert Hegel was the baker.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, if I could get those two kids, that would really be terrific. So I think I was walking around loving because this kid, you all come out afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I gave him a card. I said, yeah, I'm doing this show. Would you be interested in being seen for it? And then I called Michael, and Michael said, oh, yeah. Yeah, you want to get those kids if you can get them. So we got you two. Mm-hmm. We got Jordan. And then we got Demarius, right?
Yeah, we got
Demarius, who I liked here, but Demarius, guess what he got? He got a job at Starlight.
Oh.
So we found a very talented guy named Brian McKinley from St. Louis Rep. He's their kind of budding young actor. And I called Ron Himes, who runs St. Louis Black Rep. And I said, you got any talented musical theater guys? He said, well, it just so happens we do. And so Brian came in to round out our cast. Dick Wilson, who, you know, I think I was listening to Dick Wilson in the parking lot in high school. Although he's probably not that old, but certainly.
Well, I don't know. He's been around a long time.
Dick and Jay Cooper. I went to high school with Jay's brother Mark. We went to prom together. We double dated.
I went to school with Dick's wife, so you don't have anything on me.
There you go. So I knew Dick forever from KY, and of course from 95. And I've seen him on stage. And I thought, you know, you need a character actor who's kind of, you know, who's well known and, you know, is a pro. And so I called him and he said, yeah. And then Michael and Andy, you know, rounded out the rest of the cast with some very talented kids. We had auditions. You know, we had like 60 little munchkins show up, and we have 25 of those. And so we're on our way to doing The Wizard of Oz. Opens Wednesday at Providence Amphitheater, formerly Sandstone. Mm-hmm. I saw Paul Simon there, I saw Brian Wilson there. I saw Tom Petty there. Gosh,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I saw Steely Dan. So I've enjoyed that. But this is the first theatrical production In that theater. And, Michael, it's the first, I think, it's the first professional theater production in Wyandotte County, at least in modern Wyandotte County history. I asked Kara Marinovich, who was mayor of Wyandotte County, grew up there. She could not remember another one. So we're kind of breaking new ground here out there.
Mm-hmm. And the show does open Wednesday.
Wednesday,
August the 1st.
Saturday, August 4th. Mm-hmm. So it's four performances, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 o'clock. And during the day, if you're into Oz, just next door to Providence, to Sandstone, is the National Agricultural Hall of Fame. This is a place dedicated to the history of farming. Well, Dorothy Gale grew up on a farm around 1900. So during the day, you can go to the Ag Hall and you can see kind of the farm implements that they used back then. I think some of our actors, our characters, will be out there to say hi. Messner Puppet Theater is doing their puppet production of The Wizard of Oz. Jane Albright, who has a huge memorabilia collection, has loaned some of it to the museum at the Ag Hall. There's a train you can ride. There's chickens you can pet and stuff. So it's an all-day Oz-stravaganza.
Oz-spectacular.
Briefly touch on the comment you made earlier about Frank Baum, who wrote the book.
We were talking. Interesting that, you know, as you know, wherever you go in the world and you say, I'm from Kansas, the first thing people say is, how's Dorothy? Or, you're not in Kansas anymore, which, of course, comes from The Wizard of Oz. L. Frank Baum was an actor and playwright himself, and he was also a book writer, of course. Had a lot of different jobs, but in his early days, he was a touring actor. You know, before movies, acting companies. Chelsea, you would have been in one of these. You know, you'd have been the star of one of these years ago.
She probably was in something.
But companies would travel around. There was usually it was called the actor managers. Eugene O'Neill's father, Jamie O'Neill, was very famous. He was famous for this. He did The Count of Monte Cristo. And if you've seen Long Day's Journey Into Night, that's what it's about. It's about, you know, he's in his summer home. I mean, they didn't have movies then, but they made money touring the country. Mm-hmm. Baum came to Kansas, and he hated it here. I think he played Hayes, Kansas. Thought it was the most depressing place he'd ever been. So he decided, years later, when he wrote The Wizard of Oz, he was going to start in the least colorful, least lovely place he could. And it was a result of that decision. Kansas and Oz are connected forever.
Little would he have guessed that the state would use it as its promotional slogan.
Right. Well, the Kansas City, Kansas, this is the summer of Oz for their whole summer activity.
With all the development going on out of there and all the things, it's probably a pretty good fit, which have rumors flying, Mark. Do you want to create another Starlight out there, perhaps?
Well, I mean, I think it's already there. It's a music, you know, it's a theater that people go to and see concerts. Starlight started as a musical theater and added concerts. This, of course, started as a concert venue. My interest is only in doing The Wizard of Oz. I know we don't need another, you know, four shows at an outdoor theater. I'm not sure we need Wizard of Oz. We're going to find that out this week. Please come and prove I'm right.
I have performances through Sunday. Saturday.
The Sunday is reserved because we have to have in case the Saturday rains out.
I see.
We need one. We're reserving that. So it's Wednesday through Saturday. And I'm hoping that, you know, people will come and enjoy it, and this will become an annual event so that people all over the country can, when they visit Kansas City and go to the Speedway, go to Nebraska Furniture Mart, Great Wolf Lodge, the Royals, Sporting Kansas City, when they come to town, this is another thing they can do. And in an area that has become actually the most popular tourist destination in the state of Kansas, the Village West, Western Wyandotte County area, we're just 2 miles west of there. Everybody comes to the Renaissance Festival in the fall. So this is one more thing to add to the entertainment and arts activities in that neighborhood.
Sure, we can't talk about prices on non-commercial radio, which we are, but we can tell you where to find out. You can go to wizardofozkc.com.
Or Ticketmaster.
Or Ticketmaster. I have a number here, 816- 559-3846. Is that?
Well, that's us. There's a Ticketmaster phone number.
Okay.
Like 345-0000. But the best thing, because, you know, is to go online to either Ticketmaster or WizardOfOzKC.com. You learn all about it. You'll learn about Miss Abercrombie. Mm-hmm. You'll see her picture. You'll get to know something about it. And one of the things you'll get to know about is kind of the special production we're going to do there. Besides being one of the largest ones, around a cast of 54, has kind of two interesting features. The first is that we're working with Variety KC. That's an organization that supports opportunity, that creates opportunities for the developmentally disabled. We're working with them to create four slots for kids in our production. So there will be four kids. So two of them have MS. Two of them have, and they're in wheelchairs. And two of them are Down syndrome kids. But, you know, they're kids like any kids who are, you know, watch TV, have seen this movie on TV. They came to auditions. Their parents say, our kids really love this sort of thing. And they're in our show. They're in our ensemble. The other thing is that we got the rights from Warner Brothers to use 40 scenes from the movie. You know, outdoor theater, one of its problems has always been that you can't really light the scenery very well at 8 o'clock at night because it's still bright out there. Actually, the way sandstone kind of is situated, the sun goes down behind a grove of trees in the west, and so really at about 7:30, You don't see the sun on the stage. It's kind of creeping down. But still, I mean, it's, you know, even when the sun sets, it's still light. We've solved, I think, that problem by creating this 40-by-20-foot video wall that will have scenes from the actual movie. Nobody's in the scenes. Dorothy and Scarecrow aren't in the scenes. They are just static shots from the film, but that's where all of these famous scenes took place. Like, Chelsea will meet the Scarecrow in front of the one-second shot at the end of the movie, at the end of the scene in the movie where Scarecrow meets Dorothy, and they go, we're off to see the wizard, and they walk upstage into the scene, and they turn, I think, left, and they're gone. And for 1 second before the dissolve into the Tin Man scene, there's nothing on camera. That scene, that static shot, will be our back wall. Now, we have scenery besides. We have, you know, where the Scarecrow is on the fence, and where there's other characters in the show. I'll let Chelsea tell you about those. But there's other scenery, but the principal scenic element, instead of drops, instead of painted scenery, we have the movie. And so, and there's static scenes. The two animated scenes are, we have the 25-second tracking shot when she opens the door and you see Munchkinland. You know, the camera pans around Munchkinland. We did get that. And we have actually one character in our shots. It's that, I'm not even sure it's a person. It's the witch flying over Oz, and she writes, "Surrender, Dorothy." So there is, that could be a little puppet, but we have that too. Yes. But Chelsea, there's some other scenes and songs in the show that aren't in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole song that they cut from the movie, actually. It's called Jitterbug, and it's like a dance number that Dorothy sings most of it. So I'll get to sing that. We put it back in the show. So we haven't choreographed it. Oh, wait, no. We have.
Yeah, you forgot that part of it. You forgot that part of it.
And the crows. Right, the crows. There's a lot of introductions to the songs that weren't featured in the movie. They cut them out of the movie. And so now we put them, they're back into the musical because they were part of it.
The Tin Man scene? Who sings in that?
Oh, they've got the trees singing in that. The trees that have the apples that slap Dorothy's hand away.
Right.
They've got some really like jazzy, sassy song going on. Then they dance too.
You know, it's like when the Gershwins or Rodgers and Hart, when they wrote songs in that era, and you know, Harold Arlen and Yip Harbor were of that era. They always wrote that intro. You know, that 16-bar. You know, da 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 da. I'm dreaming of a white.
Yes, sir.
That, so you know, he's da 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 da. But there's an intro to those, and they're sung by the crows and the trees. So that's material that, you know, that no one's seen. Chelsea also has the joy of working with a dog.
I yes. do, my friend.
It was a W.C. Fields who said, don't work with animals or children. And, and when you consider the munchkins, you've kind of got both.
My gosh. Yeah. What am I doing? What am I producing this show for? A dog and 25 children.
Oh, but Toto's the best dog. Literally, the dog that plays him, her name is Prudence, and she is the sweetest, calmest little dog. I can hold her in my arms for hours, and she'll never get, like, she'll never squirm or get fussy, and she'll come right up to me. I am hiding treats, but she will come up to me.
You want to tell Michael the secret about how to get Toto out there?
Turkey. She loves turkey.
Sliced turkey.
So on
Chelsea's costume, there's a piece of sliced turkey. Mm-hmm. So when she bends over and she goes, come here, Toto. Toto sees the turkey.
Comes for the turkey. Not for me, for the turkey. But I get it. I get it. I'm not hurt.
With the songs and the reputation of the story and its success, that's a lot of pressure on you.
Oh, it is. But I think I've been taking it in stride. And I've got a really supportive cast and director and choreographers and Mark too, and really
there's that one
together.
Particular song that everyone will compare.
They will.
Mm-hmm. But you do it in your own style, I imagine.
I do, yeah. And it's a little different than the one that people typically hear, because it's another one that's got an introduction that wasn't really featured. So that'll maybe throw people for a little bit, but I would say I put my own style and flavor to the song. I'm not copying Judy Garland by any means, because you really just can't live up.
Right. and in that part of the play, you know, the back wall is that sepia color. The lighting designer, Nicole Jaja, has, you know, toned down the colors. So it's, you know, I think you wear the black and white dress in that one instead of the blue dress. Of course, you know, she doesn't wear the ruby slippers until Oz. But it's interesting that they're able to create that palette with the song, too.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking with Mark Edelman. He is the president of Theater League, and Chelsea Abercrombie, she plays the role of Dorothy Gale in the Theater League production of The Wizard of Oz. It'll begin on Wednesday, August the 1st, continue a four-performance run Wednesday through Saturday.
At 8 o'clock, right.
At 8 o'clock p.m.
It's at Providence Amphitheater, which a lot of people know as Sandstone or Verizon or Cricket. So it's had different names, but it's a, you know, very popular place. It's nice. There's kind of a nice breeze out there because you're out in the country, although it's not that far. It's only 2 miles west of Village West, the Kansas Speedway, Sporting Kansas City. It's right next door to the Renaissance Festival. Everybody's been to the Renaissance Festival. It's right next door. We're going to use the parking lot on the east side off of 126th Street. That'll be convenient for folks. And it's, you know, it's a lovely place to be.
Yeah, tell us about some of the supporting cast, also Kansas Citians as well.
Yeah, only,
a lot of
Brian
them.
I think is the only one from out of town. You know, I went around and looked musical theater and asked kids. Michael Grayman Parkhurst is our director. His partner, Andy, is our choreographer. They are new parents. Mm-hmm. So, have you said it's not a baby anymore. How old is
he? A little toddler, yeah, over one. I'm not sure exactly how old he is. But.
So he hasn't been, but it's Andy's mom. Andy's mom is the kind of the babysitter here, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's been fun to work with them. And there's, you know, there's a lot of special effects. You know, we've got, you know, the Wiz is going to be obviously played by Dick Wilson, who also plays Professor Marvel, who also plays, you know, it's not written this way, but we took the beat from the movie. I mean, it might be a surprise to people when they come, but there's Dick again with a mustache in the, you know, he's the door guard. It was this, that same actor, Frank.
That same
actor. And unlike the movie, our Auntie M is also Glinda. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the play is written. We're doing the Royal Shakespeare Company production of The Wizard of Oz. They adapted it in a fashion that's very like the movie. There's another variation you can get called the Muni version, and that's from the Muni Opera in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. But theirs is not like leaves the movie, and we wanted to do the movie because you know it's the movie is so well known here, and that's what we're. This is an homage to Harold Arlen and you know and Yip Harbor, those great songs. You know, there of course there's all sorts of political implications.
Oh, sure.
About this show.
There always is.
You know, the Wiz trying to manipulate the truth.
Ah, yes.
Things.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Right. Well said. You know, Wicked kind of takes that a little further, the darker side of it. But, you know, today and the politics that we have today, you know, learning the truth and is important.
Has to be a lot of technical things, special effects. Is that harder to deal with as a performer?
I've done a lot of theater in my life. I started when I was like about 12 or 13, so I'm pretty used to the technical aspects of theater at this point. But since we're outside, there's not really going to be any flying, at least, so we don't have to. I've actually never flown. I'm a little sad about that. Not that I would fly even if we did, I guess. But we're not having that. But where was it going?
Special effects and dealing with that. The timing has to be right.
You have to be really on the timing, and I.
You have to hit that mark
for
your shoes, because when the witch you know goes after the shoes, we have a lighting effect. She has to be standing in the right place. Of course, her shoes. We have to put on her shoes without anybody seeing it. You know,
right.
They have to magically appear. I won't tell you how that happens, but it's not that technical. It's mostly we have the Vesuvio, the fogs, you know, comes in every time the witch comes in. Of course, Devon has the big different look because she has to go from being
Miss Gulch,
you know, and she's got, I think she's got 10 minutes, but she has to get into makeup. You know, the girls in Wicked, I mean, they're in makeup, you know, they come in, you know, an hour before.
Mm-hmm.
Devon has to get into that makeup, and she doesn't come back. She doesn't have to come back at the end. We don't see her at the end, but, you know, she's running around, driving around. She also has to ride a bicycle on that stage, which is fun on that stage because it's such a big stage you actually can ride a bicycle.
Right. A little more difficult in the rehearsal space.
Yeah,
but so. You feel like you can stretch out a little more?
Yeah. It's a really wide stage, mostly, which can make entrances and exits a little interesting, because you have to start a lot earlier than you think you do when you're going on, because there's just a lot of stage to get across. But it's working out well so far. It's nice having a lot of space.
But the songs are probably the most difficult thing for you.
Actually, I started singing way before I started doing any theater. I started singing since I could talk, I think. I don't really remember a time when I didn't sing, so that's actually probably one of the easier things for me. But probably the hardest is just memorizing lines, because boy, do I have so many.
You're on stage almost the entire...
I am on stage.
The entire play.
Basically,
right?
Yeah.
I can't think of it.
The only time I'm not is when I leave very briefly when Miss Gulch comes back to try and take Toto away.
And in Act 2, you're off when they're looking for you.
Yeah, when they're looking for me, I'm not on stage. But other than that, I'm there the entire time.
And she has to walk up, you know, to the top of the castle. There's things, you know, that you got to do. And it's outside, which makes it all a little stranger.
Demanding, physically.
But she doesn't get dissolved. That's dead. So that's a little...
Yeah.
She doesn't get dissolved.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be a difficult scene to do, but I'm sure, and I don't want you to tell how you do it, but I'm sure that's a fun scene to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's a costuming... Is it a costuming nightmare backstage? Necessarily
for her.
Well, not for me.
Yeah.
No, I...
It is for the ensemble, because the ensemble plays Munchkins, Wickies, Ozians. I guess that's... Is that it?
Trees.
Some of them are trees.
Crows.
Some of them are crows. So some people have... There's tracks that have five or six different outfits in them, but not more than that. And then some of the ensemble, the Munchkin, the children are just Munchkins. The Variety Kids are going to be both Ozians and maybe Munchkins Winkies, some Winkies, but you know, there's everybody knows those, you know, those characters, And they come to life on the Providence stage starting Wednesday through Saturday.
Yeah. WizardOfOzKC.com or Ticketmaster. You can contact us, well, for your ticketing information and any questions you might have for all of that. Speaking with Chelsea Abercrombie, who plays the role of Dorothy Gale. A lot of people don't know Dorothy's last name, I've discovered.
I know. It's kind of a fun name if you think about it because of a Twister, Gale Wind, all
I'm
that.
Sure that was part of Mom's thinking.
I'm sure it was.
There seems to be a lot of inside humor and information by Mom.
Yeah, I think, those characters, are all, of course, people don't. People must remember, but all the characters that are in Oz, because she's dreaming this, are people she knows at home. There's, Tin Man's name is Hunk.
Tin Man's name is Hickory.
Tin Man is Hickory.
Lion's Hunk.
Lion is Hunk.
And
Scarecrow
is Zeke.
Mm-hmm. So they all have, they have names at home, and then there's Auntie M and Uncle Henry,
mm-hmm.
and is it Agnes or Almira?
Almira
Gulch.
Almira
Gulch. So those people are all in Oz, and when you see them in Oz, they're in sort of not tattered clothes, but they're in clothes that are not colorful. Because again, Bob wanted to create this sense of as being a dreary, windswept area. And our tornado will be a real, I hope it will be
real
a real
tornado.
I hope there's no tornado out
there.
I hope that I have a tornado out there. But we've got, the movie, Tornado, and Iris Coach drives around . And of course, there's all these lines in the beginning that set up who the characters are. Like Lion says, he says,
says to have bravery to stand up to Miss Gulch. Tells me that to walk tall and just spit in her eye the next time I see her. But of course, he's the cowardly lion, so he's talking and he gets scared immediately by the other farmhands
and scared.
Scarecrow asks if I have brains and that I should just take a different route home instead of by Miss Gulch's house.
And Tin Man, when you challenge them when because they didn't help you save Toto, you say something. Tin Man says.
He says I said that I just hate him because they let Toto get taken away, and he says it makes it feels like his heart was all torn to pieces.
So if you watch the play, you'll know who's going to end up being these characters. And of course, that's why Dorothy, had this dream that stuck in her mind. These characters mentioned those things.
Opening night Wednesday, August the 1st, 8:00 p.m.
Wednesday, right?
Same on Tuesday, Thursday, the 2nd of August at 8:00. Friday the 3rd at 8:00. Saturday the 4th. At 8:00 p.m.
That's it. Yes. At four performances at Providence.
At the Providence Medical Center Amphitheater.
Well, Sandstone.
Formerly known as Sandstone. The websites to go to WizardOfOzKC.com or contact Ticketmaster for your information. Sounds like it's going to be a spectacular run for you.
Oh, yeah.
We hope so. We've got a lot of folks out there working to entertain and tell the story of an iconic Kansas girl.
Yeah.
Chelsea Abercrombie, who's actually a Missouri girl, as Dorothy Gale.
All going on at the Providence Medical Center Amphitheater beginning on Wednesday, August the 1st. Thank you so much for being with us, Mark Edelman. He is the president of Theater League, and Chelsea Abercrombie, former former Stevens girl, another one of those Stevens girls that are trying to take over, and they're being very successful at it. So be aware of that. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
For both of you for being with us.
Yeah.
We'll return in just a moment. We'll have more for you right here. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM. Your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to talk now about the Independence Playwright Fest, the 10th annual Independence Playwright Fest. It'll be happening this Thursday, August the 2nd at 7:30. On August the 5th, or August the 3rd, a Friday at 7:30. August the 4th, which is a Saturday at 7:30 p.m., and conclude on Sunday, August the 5th, with a matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. at City Theater of Independence, 201 North Dodgen. If you MapQuest things, 64050 is the zip code. It's at the Sermon Center, essentially the corner of Truman and Nolan Roads in Independence. And with us to tell us all about this 10th Annual Playwright Festival are two of the brains behind all of this.
That's generous.
That's right. Larry Morse is with us. He is the Vice President of Operations for City Theater. He has directed twice before, that he told me, Forbidden Planet in Independence, the much-talked-about show, especially by your actors. They told me quite a bit about it. And Night of the Pterodactyls in Blue Springs. So welcome to the show. Want to hear about the Playwright Festival. John Eppert is with us as well. He is the Playwright Festival Chairman. Now that sounds like quite a job for this. He is stage managed mostly in the past, but has appeared in several things over the years. Maybe he'll reveal that to us later on in the broadcast. Thank you both for being here. The Playwright Festival, why does Independence have a Playwrights Festival?
Well, it started out as a educational program, so that if someone would like to be an actor, it's only about 10 minutes, minimal commitment. They can learn to act. If they want to learn to direct, they can learn to direct here. So we help actors and directors that want to see if they want to like that. It's also turned into our fundraiser, one of our fundraisers for our community theater, and it's kind of a nice little thing. We've been doing it for 10 years, and it keeps getting better and better every year.
People submit their plays. There are certain rules associated with this, and you pick the 8 best ones?
Well, we solicit for plays nationwide and accepted plays from all over the country. We don't accept anything from outside the country. And then we go through a vetting process where the plays are read by the committee, a committee of 7 or 8 people. And they're all short plays, 10 to 15 minutes. And there are certain stipulations about what the set pieces can be. There's a theme that goes along with it. This year's theme was that the plays had to be by or about women. Not by women, but had to be about women or have women as the subject. And we got some very creative plays. And the committee went through, and they've picked 8 that we're going to showcase. One of the rules is that they can have never before been produced. And so these will be the first time that these are seen on stage.
What time? It's been a while back. There's a deadline for submitting. If someone's looking ahead to next year and they have something that they've sort of written but really need to perfect it,
It's usually about January 1st we start accepting applications or start accepting the plays. And it takes about 3 or 4 days, if that, to get all
3 or 4 hours.
It all depends on. But usually people start submitting as soon as the deadline opens for submissions, and then it usually closes pretty quick.
How many did you get? So you had to whittle it down to 8.
Well, we accepted the first 75 plays that qualified with all of the conditions that we had established. We had 85 that were submitted, and a few didn't meet those qualifications. And that we had those 75 by within 2 days, and then some.
And so the audience will get to see the 8 final plays.
Yes.
Which will be presented on the dates mentioned, August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. At City Theater Stage in Independence. So let's get into it. Tell us about the plays that you've selected, a little bit about them so the audience knows what they're getting here. All original plays.
Okay. The first one, these aren't necessarily in order that we're going to show them, but
sure.
My Eyes Are Up Here is by Les... I'm sorry, I'm going to mess this one up. Abramowitz.
Abramowitz,
okay. And this is a about two women who deal with sexism and gender politics in a small company where they work, and they find the hashtag MeToo movement that won't protect them or their hostility. Work
won't protect them?
It says it won't protect them.
Okay. It's a very timely subject,
yeah.
I must say.
Yeah, the next one is called Playing with Fire. We have a... It's about a young woman who's ambitious in her company and wants the job her boss has and is trying to figure out how to get him fired. so that she can take his place. That one's directed by Stephen Hyatt, directed by Emerson Rapp. My As There Appears, directed by Caitlin Tormina. So, two directors that are new to our stage as well.
Yeah, they both both of these shows seem to have similar themes: office politics. It involves women. Mm-hmm. Very timely subject, of course. Of course, that's what you ask. You ask for shows
absolutely
for and about women.
Yeah. The next one is Gizelaide.
Glissade.
It was written by Richard Balloon and directed by Lene Anderson. And it's about Meredith Stoddard is offering a starring role in a ballet production with certain stipulations which endanger her health, whether she's allowed to dance or not.
Involves her health. It's a nice little mystery.
Yeah, that's all we're going to tell you about that one.
Okay. So.
We don't want to get the whole thing
away.
That's
all Michael gets for that.
Yeah, that's right. The next one's a play directed by Vicki Miller. It's called Poof. And a young aspiring artist is beginning to question her life choices, and her fairy godmother appears, her fairy godmother being somewhat worse for the wear and doesn't really improve things very much. So it's going to be more of a comedy. Written by Chip Bolchik out of California, and it'll be a fun play.
Yeah, he's from California. How did he ever reveal to you how he heard about the Playwright Fest?
Oh, one of the responsibilities that I had was to make sure that it was the announcement that and the solicitation for plays was distributed as widely as possible, and so it was distributed over the Facebook Playwrights page. There are several Playwrights pages on Facebook. There are some websites that are specific to Playwrights, and there's a LinkedIn page, if you will, or group for Playwrights. So this solicitation was distributed through all those channels, and that's why we got as many plays submitted as we did. And they were from all over. We've got some from Florida, from California, New Jersey, Massachusetts, from North Dakota. Those are the ones that we selected. But we got them from almost every state in the union.
Any of those out-of-state authors going to come see the show? Do we know?
They all know that their shows are going to be produced. They're all very excited about it. And some have alluded to the fact that they'd like to come. Whether or not aspiring playwrights have the means to come from California may be an entirely different thing.
Last year we had two playwrights that came to the festival that had plays that were produced. So it was kind of exciting to see them.
And it's probably exciting for them to have their shows produced.
Yep.
Anywhere, much less Independence.
That's right.
please continue.
The next one that I have is You're Lying by Phil
Drog.
Okay. Directed by Caitlin
Tormina.
Tormina.
Yeah.
And this one is about Anne and Jane, who get a rather heated discussion about Jane's claim that Anne's boyfriend Jared has made a pass at her.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, I'm sure this is something that happens quite a bit. I wouldn't know, but I'm sure this happens quite a bit.
The real question here is who's lying. So,
that's right.
You know.
who is lying? And the story probably examines how this comes about and how you discover and all of this. But it's probably a fairly common subject matter.
Yeah. The next one is called Bemused, and it's another confused playwright sort of play. We have a woman who's struggling with a recent divorce and decides to write a play, and in the process of doing that, sort of her imaginary muse pops up and takes over and begins to direct things, and there's some conflict and some comedy. It was written by W.L. Newkirk out of Florida, and it's being directed by Michael Masterson, who's been on this show, as a matter of fact, in the past, and has
very involved as a director and probably as an actor.
He's been an officer, you know, in the CTI's board of directors for a while. So,
yeah, a thankless job. I'm
ask Larry.
They laugh.
And then the last one is
The last one you have.
The last one I have. Okay, last one I have is called True Colors, and it was written by Tom Misserona, and it's directed by Kevin Pruitt. And it's about a group of ladies from the Red Hat Society who decide to go gambling and get confused as a gang.
Well, they are a gang, aren't they?
That's exactly what the gang, you know?
For those who don't know, the Red Hat Society is actually, it could be any group of ladies, but they wear red hats, they go to places, restaurants, the ball game. I've seen some of them at the ball games and stuff. Red Hat ladies at the Chiefs game, they kind of blended in.
In this show, they're portrayed more as the little old lady mafia. But
Well, that could be very exciting. The whys and wherefores, I think, would be exceptionally important.
Yeah. The last play is called Cleaning House by another Florida author, Marjorie O'Neill Butler, directed by a young man named C.J. Miller. This is his first foray into directing. We're really excited to have him because he's got a lot of theater experience. And so this is exactly what the Playwright Festival was for, is to give some of these folks the opportunity to be mentored and to get their hands tried in an area that they're new at. So this one's about another kind of timely subject. We've got a mother whose daughter thinks she needs to go into an assisted living facility and doesn't want to go.
Well, another very timely subject. A lot of us are dealing with situations like that, and a lot of people are. And so it's a very timely subject. Yeah. Indeed. Well, that's the lineup of eight plays. It'll happen again on Thursday, August the 2nd, 7:30. Friday, August the 3rd at 7:30. Saturday, August the 4th at 7:30. And Sunday, August the 5th, a 2 o'clock p.m. matinee at City Theater of Independence. The actual address, 201 North Dodgen. If you MapQuest things, you need that zip code, 64050. But the Sermon Center is essentially at the intersection of Truman and Nolan Roads in Independence, where a lot of things happen to happen in Independence at that intersection. It's a big part of town and has been this home of City Theater since the early 70s. As a matter of fact, were either of you involved back then at the very beginning? I don't think John even lived here yet.
No, John was still in the Navy at that point.
Traveling around the world, as I understand it.
Yeah, we're getting ready to start our 39th season. So.
Can you tell me about it in the time we have left?
Yeah, we're getting ready to start our 39th season, which will start out with The Hollow, and that'll go up in September. I think so.
Is that the one that Ernie is directing?
Yeah, that Ernie's directing, that Ernie Williams, and that's a Agatha Christie. That's going to start off our season. And
those are always fun to do. Agatha always leaves you not really knowing. Sometimes the playwrights make it obvious. They even show the murder. But in Agatha's case, you usually can't understand who did it or why until the very end. Yeah. It was the Mousetrap I did many years ago, and the director didn't even give us the last seven pages. She did not want us to know because she thought it would affect our characterization. But that's Agatha Christie and her style. A very famous British playwright, if you're not familiar with her.
Just before we get too far off the Playwright Festival, I do want to mention for any aspiring writers out there that the theme for next year's Playwright Festival will be survival. So take that and do with it what you like.
Yeah. could be anything, right? But surviving in some way or another.
Keep an eye out because the other, conditions for submission of the plays and things will be published. But be thinking about that if you want to write a play, play.
And you can find that on our website at citytheaterofindependence.org.
So you're going to open your season with an Agatha Christie thriller. What are you going to follow up that way?
And then A Few Good Men.
Excellent. You'll need a lot of military uniforms for that.
We that was a heated discussion when we were discussing that one.
and we need a lot of people to fill those uniforms, a lot of men. So
if you're an aspiring actor, you're a man, just come out and audition for that one.
Give people just a line or two, the storyline of A Few Good Men. It might inspire some people to audition.
It's about someone that in the military that they're up for judicial review because they did something that they were following orders and some other people thought they shouldn't have been done that. So,
well, you must follow orders. Yeah. From who and why is often a big story. What are you going to follow that up with?
I know our music will be Willy Wonka.
Oh.
And
you'll need a lot of kids,
yes,
probably, for that one.
I'm sure we will.
And a strong lead character.
Yes, so
you want to say who's directing these two?
Yeah, we'll
who's that? Well, I know who's directing A Few Good Men. It's Nancy Eppert.
Yeah. Withershins is going to be, it's Don Niagara's Withershins will be after A Few Good Men. And then we have, and that is directed by Emerson Rapp, who's directing one of our Playwright Festival. And then Willy Wonka, it's Ronald Dahl's Willy Wonka. Uh-huh. And this is going to be directed by Aaron Stokes. And our final one will be A Midsummer's Night Dream by William Shakespeare. And that'll be directed by Nathaniel Bowman.
Yes, the key role of Puck is very important.
Yeah, we're thinking of you for that role, Mike.
Oh, really? I don't know. I'm probably a bit not mischievous enough, I think, to play
Puck. I don't know. I've seen you in action.
So. Yeah. Sounds like an interesting lineup. What goes into picking that? The playwright committee has to read many, many plays. And
well, actually, this is a separate committee. It's called our selection committee that chooses our plays for the regular season. And that one has, they bring all sorts of, everyone brings about six or seven plays, and then they all read through them and get it down to the five that we do for the season. So,
yeah. City Theater is like many other community theaters. You kind of live off your volunteers and what they do. What can you say to encourage people to come down? What's the process?
If you would like to volunteer and help out, either backstage, on stage, technical, making costumes, give us a call. We've recently got a brand new business line, which I currently don't have that business line number, but if you call the ticket line, it will tell you the business line's number.
And I should have given that earlier, 816-325-7367.
And now that's the ticket line.
That's the ticket line.
But
you can leave they can leave a message.
Yes. They can leave a message, but it also has our new business line on there, so they can call it, and we'll get back to them.
And I might suggest, if you come to the Playwrights Festival, talk to one of these two gentlemen, and maybe they can talk to you about volunteering. I know the highlight are the people on stage, but far more of the jobs are backstage.
Yes, that's true.
We gave the season. You left out one. You have a fall presentation away from the Sermon Center that you.
Well, the three theater companies that work out of the Sermon Center are funded by an umbrella foundation called the Powerhouse Theater Foundation, and every year, the two weekends before Halloween, we produce an event in the George Owens Nature Park, which is in Eastern Independence, called Enchanted Forest, and it's a not scary Halloween thing for families and kids. We make sure that it's filled with fairy tale and fantasy creatures and things that are fun to watch, nothing that frightens anybody.
And that has become a year-round job for you. I hear comments about you're doing something for that at various times during the year.
Well, this is one of those things that's grown to the point where it involves not just the people in Independence, but we have people from all over the Kansas City area that come to be involved in this. And it's become almost a landmark in the fall in Independence. And yeah, it's a year-round endeavor. We start planning for the following year before we execute the one that, you know, is coming up. But you know, we have lots of big things that we build. There's lots of eye candy, if you will, and it's fun for everybody in the family. And I do want to mention that last year we set aside a special night, a separate night for the special needs community to come, and we're going to do that again because it was very wildly popular. So anyone with special needs can come on that night and go through, and it's without being jostled by the crowd that's normally there. And so we invite, and that would be the Thursday night before the first one, and that will be advertised through the special needs community. We have a couple of women that are in charge of that for us, and they do a good job going through the various organizations that service the special needs community. So, but if anybody is interested, they can also look on our Enchanted Forest Facebook page, and they can find that information as well.
The Independence Playwright Festival will be coming up beginning this Thursday, August the 2nd. Performances continue Friday evening the 3rd, both at 7:30. Saturday the 4th at 7:30, and a matinee on Sunday, August the 5th. All of the performances at the Sermon Center of Independence, essentially the corners of Truman and Nolan Road in Independence. The number to call for more information, 816-325-7367, or on the web at citytheaterofindependence.org. I want to thank both of you gentlemen for coming.
Thank you.
Telling us all about it and how the people can get involved. And who knows, if you're an aspiring playwright, if you follow the rules, next year's theme is about survival, so keep that in mind as you prepare your script. And perhaps, who knows, maybe you'll get your play performed on stage at City Theater. I want to thank Larry Morris. He is the Vice President of Operations for City Theater. He has directed. Have you performed on stage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done Mousetrap and a couple of other things, and
a great orator, John Everett, as well. He is the Playwright Festival chairman. He stage manages a lot. He was in Trip to Bountiful, among other things.
Well, I've been in lots of things over the years, but my place seems to be behind the curtain.
So. Okay. Well, we'll encourage him to get more out in front of the curtain as time goes by. The rest of his family does. It's only right that he do it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. The Jazz Insider is coming up next. In true KKFI tradition, we'll be playing jazz from 1 to 3. We'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.